Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Go out to Newport Beach, California. William H. Gross holding fort. He has not slept in 4 days as the bond market has provided losses. Bill, I looked at your portfolio this morning, and I need to congratulate you on taking dramatically less loss than the 10-year yield of the 30-year bond. How are you doing that? Is your duration 18 months?
Well, it's not 18 months, but it's shorter than the average is. And, of course, on a day like yesterday, you wish it were even shorter still. But, the secret to capital preservation as interest rates go up is short duration and a lot of cash. And we're moving in that direction.
Let's talk about your portfolio and bond markets in a bit. Here is a jobs report. It's got some nice features to it. Futures go up. We're zero. Now we're up 2.4. On the futures, but then we've got Washington as a backdrop, and you really wrote that up in your lovely note of a few days ago. You quote John Law, you quote Alfred E. Newman. Is he with PIMCO now?
Well, he's been with PIMCO for about 35 years.
I know he has. There's a spirit. There's a spirit out there. Explain for our listeners. You play a song of the week on Friday, and on your trading floor, you run the lyrics around. You explain that tradition at PIMCO.
Well, we want to get a little excitement on the trading floor. A lot of times, it's all electronic trading and people whisper and so on. And so at 8 o'clock in the morning, we want to get up and jump around, at least mentally, and let people express themselves. And so we put that in about 3 years ago, and it seems to work. There's thematic songs that take place, and then there's songs that are more tempo-related. It'd be interesting to see what we have this morning. Yeah.
Let's go to the jobs into Washington. First of all, your thoughts on what you observed in Washington in the last week?
Well, chaos and dysfunction, and that's indicative, I think, of what's happening over in Euroland. But if we continue to see it, and we expect to continue to see it, Mohammed has weighed in on this as well. It doesn't bode well. There are certainly three critical points in the next several months in terms of decision points and leverage points. And 12 months ago with the debt ceiling, we saw what might happen in terms of the credit rating, and perhaps more importantly, over the last 12 months, we've seen the potential for vigilantes to become a little disillusioned as well.
Let me bring in the ultimate vigilante, Joe Brusuelas, with me this job day. Joe?
Good morning, Bill.
Hi, Joe.
What did you make of that FOMC minutes yesterday? After the Fed spent a good 3 months crafting policy for an economy in a liquidity trap, suddenly they say, well, we've got second thoughts.
Yeah, well, I thought it was a little surprising. You added up the several and the couple and the few in terms of the respondents, and it looked like at least six or seven of the perhaps 20 discussants, were of the mind that before 2013 ended that they might see an end to QE. That's a little disturbing. And the Fed has had a flexible target for tightening that was announced last month, which is 6.5% unemployment and 2.5% inflation for 1 to 2 years, but that specifically applies to the policy rate. And this QE either, I guess, is sort of indefinite in terms of when it will and how much it will, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we were a little disturbed by that, and the market was too.
Bill, I wrote this up for Bloomberg EconoChat yesterday, taking off the Marines' wonderful phrase, and I said, the few, the others, and the several. And, there's a lot of choices out there, but there's almost a confusion of too much information in their so-called transparency. Are you getting too much information from this Fed?
Yeah, I think we're more confused now than we were a few months ago.
Thank you.
Exactly the opposite of what the chairman and Janet Yellen wanted. But they focused us in on this 6.5% unemployment rate. But yet, if we should reach it, they suggest that they'll look at other things too. And so it becomes very murky going forward. I would suspect that the 7.8 today, it gives us a little breathing room in terms of moving down. But still, I think the markets will be more more volatile, Tom. We talked about employment Fridays. Today's an employment Friday, but we talked about how volatile that will be now that the unemployment rate and the participation rate, et cetera, are so significant.
Are you assuming volatility stays low, whether you look at the VIX and the 14 handle, or you look at the Merrill Lynch Move Index or any other measurements, sophisticated measurements you have at PIMCO? Is it going to be a quiet year in terms of agitation?
Well, as long as the Fed stays calm, the volatility around days like today will be high, and before days like today, and perhaps after days like today, and so the volatility that hit its bottom perhaps 1 or 2 months ago in terms of the VIX and in terms of the bond market vol, probably will go higher. It doesn't mean that we're going back to the old days, because if the Fed controls and controls significantly in terms of not only the financial markets but the real economy, then vol will stay low, but we shall see. We don't think the real economy will be less volatile, put it that way.
Bill Gross with us from PIMCO. Bill, the bond market backs up, prices lower, yields higher. I would suggest that's good news for your colleague, Neil Kashkari, and that's how you really get equities to jumpstart. Is that true?
Well, it is one way. You know, there's been a faith that bonds would always go higher in price and perhaps lower in yield, but provide a total return close to double digits. Same thing with stocks. That's really what I referred to with the death of the cult of equity and the death of the cult of bonds, this belief that asset prices could make up for negative real wage gains and make consumers whole. So, I think that's what the Fed wants us to do, Tom. They want us to migrate from bonds to stocks, and when bonds start to do poorly, then you would logically think that stocks would catch a bid. But I still wonder, because the public has been chastened by laymen, they've been chastened by fast trading, they've been chastened by the shadowy fog of banking and our levered financial system, and so we shall see.
Could we have a moment of silence for your double-digit return in the last 12 months? 10% return in a sleepy bond fund? How did you do that, Mr. Gross?
Well, we bought into the inflation potential of the economy and what the Fed was doing. We bought a lot of tips, and tips did much better than nominals, as what they call the break-evens moved higher. We bought a lot of municipal bonds. We bought some Italy and Spain at the right time. We bought the appropriate risk assets when they were doing well. Now, however, that 10% return is certainly threatened, and it it's like squeezing juice out of an orange in the morning. You can only squeeze so much juice and put so much into that glass. And at 1.7% yields for the investment grade market, it's really hard to
produce. How would you structure your portfolio right now if that's the case?
Well, something with low duration that protected principal more than went for a double-digit type of return, and looking to some areas that still are attractive in terms of yield and with diminished risk. Again, Italy looks good to us at 3.5%. I know that's a stretch to say that, but it's certainly much better than...
Let's let's make some news here. Are you buying Europe again, Bill? Are you back in Europe?
Well, we've bought it for 3 months, Tom. We've bought mostly Italy, a touch and a shade of Spain, under the assumption that the ECB would, if asked, come in and provide a trillion or so dollars worth of support for those markets.
How does someone as big as your shop buy Italy? I mean, everybody must know that. Is this like some clandestine thing where you and Mohammed get off the airline with sunglasses on and try to buy paper? How do you do that?
Well, Italy is the third largest bond market in the world, so that says something to begin with. It's not a little shrimp, and so it provides you the entry in and hopefully the exit out at the right particular time. The markets do have a sense of what we're doing. I speak honestly to you on the radio and elsewhere in terms of what we're doing. So, no secrets here, but there's a lot of different opinions, and that allows us space.
So, Bill, take us on a tour of emerging markets, specifically high yield. Is that a play you're interested in this year? And is the era of the BRICS over?
It's over in terms of the outright fascination with them in terms of their growth rates. Those growth rates are coming down. Many of them have problems in terms of their balance sheets and their budgets. But, you know, to my way of thinking, and I think the Mohammeds as well, you know, we think many of the BRICS are not really developing countries. They're in the category of developed. They have less than half the debt in some cases relative to GDP. We're talking about Brazil and Mexico. You know, they have better growth prospects. And so, yeah, we have a fascination there. I think investing in local currency markets like Brazil, where yields are 7%, 8%, 9%, and in Mexico, where they're 5%, 6%, and 7%, certainly outshine what we can see here in the United States.
So let's bring this home. When you drive down the street and you make a right on Pacific Coast Highway in Newport Beach, my old ancestral home, and you end up towards Huntington Beach in the great suburban sprawl of Southern California, is the Golden State starting to gather momentum and come back in a way that will really give us that escape velocity you've spoken about for a number of years?
Well, I don't think so. I think Governor Brown would hope so, and he's raised taxes on many of us in order to balance the budget, and so that's good, I suppose. But, you know, labor is still deserting California. Businesses are still deserting California because the tax rates are so high. There are choices. Many of them are in the South as opposed to California. You know, that's not to suggest that technological wizardry doesn't still exist here. It does, and perhaps it will always shine from that standpoint, but it's much less of a productive center than it used to be.
Bill, let's go back to your tweet of the week and dovetail it into your wonderful op-ed. See it, folks, at PIMCO.com. PIMCO.com, money for nothing, writing checks for free, stealing that, of course, from dire straits. But, Bill, you look at your caution, and you make headlines, buy gold. It's a single-digit Bill Gross world. Well, I heard that 12 months ago, a lot of single-digit gloom, and I'm sorry, the S&P did well. Bill Gross did a double-digit year with your usual skill and magic. Why is your new normal lead to single-digit returns where we see some double-digit realities out there?
Well, simply it's an observation that markets are bubbled because of what central banks have been doing. And that's, in a sense, a subjective judgment. We've never been here before. It's hard to know what the proper corporate spread should be. It's hard to know what the proper equity risk premium should be. And so we all sort of stumble along, Tom. But, you know, we have a sense that because of $1 trillion worth of check writing money for free, so to speak, in the United States and lots of other central banks, that we have bubbles and that we should be more conservative in terms of our estimation of returns going forward.
Bill, in the time we've got left with you, and I'm not going to waste it on the 49ers and that team from New York, the Jets. Yes, we're not going to do that.
Okay.
This is serious. And the idea is the doubt that the public and the investment public has that when we finally become restrictive or a move away from this unlimited punch bowl, bad things will happen. Can you give me confidence, as President Dudley would of the New York Fed, that the Fed can manage this in a non-stochastic, smooth way to a successful outcome for investors?
Well, I don't think so, and I think they have fears as well. I mean, the Fed has admitted, Mr. Dudley has has had research that suggested that 50 to 100 basis points of lower Treasury yields have come from QE and other policies. And so as they exit, you would logically expect that 50 to 100 basis points to come back into the market in terms of higher yields and lower prices. You know, what does that imply for risk assets? Well, it's a negative for risk assets, too, because it becomes more competitive relative to stock dividends and other discount modeling. So, you know, the way back is going to be a difficult one, and it's encumbered by leverage, as we all know, that probably will exist for a number of years. And we simply think that developed economy growth is at a 2% or less number, and that's reflective of single-digit 5% types of returns.
Bill, thank you so much. Bill Gross with PIMCO, and of course, wonderful to have him on our 20th anniversary broadcast here of Bloomberg Radio. The PIMCO team really giving us a lot of support, a lot of wisdom and smarts, right or wrong, through the years.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.